God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the word of God from John 1. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to all men was coming into the world. Dear friends in Christ, like John the Baptist, we are all witnesses, but Jesus is the star of the salvation show. So, what comes to mind when you think of a witness? Perhaps a courtroom setting. You think of the person on the witness stand who is under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. A witness speaks about what he or she has seen or heard. A witness isn't there to talk about him or herself. Now, a witness is only as good as their testimony is truthful. You might also think of a biblical witness, someone who gives witness that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, being a witness that Jesus is the Savior gives most of us Lutherans a case of the willy-nillies or the heebie-jeebies. We think of people standing on the street corner dressed in daub gray, handing out leaflets about Jesus that people just throw on the ground. Or we think of someone dressed in naga hide and carrying a sign that says, "The end of the world is near." Or we think of that person next to us on the airplane who tells us their whole life story, ending in their dramatic conversion to faith in Jesus, in the hopes that we will say the sinner's prayer before we have to put our seats in the full upright position and land in Las Vegas. That's what we think of. The Greek word for witness is martyreo. It means one who bears witness to the truth, even to the point of backing it up with their lives. And if you listen closely to that Greek word, martyreo, you hear the word martyr. Why? Because many Christians backed up their confession that Jesus is the Savior of the world with their blood. And still do, many Christians still do, all the way up to this day. Christ has died to forgive us, and Christ has risen to conquer our death, and you can kill us if you want, but that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what a witness does. And you and I are witnesses. But as Jack Nicholson said to Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. Many can't handle the truth that Jesus is our Savior from sin and death because they can't handle the two underlying truths that we are all sinners and that we can't save ourselves. But how do we know that John the Baptizer's and the Apostles' witness written down in God's Word and backed up with martyrs' blood, how do we know that message is the truth? Simple. Jesus said that he would die to forgive us and that he would back up or validate his claim by rising again. Romans 4 puts it like this. He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised again for our being declared righteous. John the Baptist was sent under orders from God and put under oath by God to take the witness stand, which in his case was the Jordan River. In your case and mine, it's our neighborhood, the schools we send our children to, the places we work, and our social circles. And John was sent, just as we are, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that the Savior of the world is here, and his name is Jesus. As you might guess, when you start telling people that they need to be saved from their sins and that they can't save themselves and that there's only one Savior, one cross, one forgiving blood, and one resurrection that can get them out of their graves. To many people who make their brains bigger than God, or who love their sins more than God, are going to give you that deer in the headlights look, or treat you like you recently landed on planet Earth in Area 51 at Roswell, New Mexico. Don't worry about it. Who cares? Remember our motto. If the whole world thinks you're nuts for trusting in Jesus, just invite them to join the asylum. Because Jesus is the only way to live abundantly, to live forever, and to live in heaven, and to live in the Father's family. In fact, the more that people freak out when you tell them that they're included in Jesus' forgiving death and resurrection, the more it reveals how lost they are, and how desperately they need the blood transfusion of Jesus' forgiving blood to live. Just consider their losing it, or their flying off the handles, a symptom of their sin delirium, for whom we have the cure that gives life. It happens all the time. Jesus faced it too. John 1, he, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not receive him. He came to those which were his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to be children of God. The religious leaders didn't trust John, nor did they receive his testimony. John was too much of a loose cannon to their respectability. Dressed in camel's hair and leather, eating honey-dripped grasshopper legs, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But John didn't care what they thought of him. And that's actually a good standard to live by. He only cared about their salvation, whether they liked him or not. God's witnesses, including you and me, are sent on orders from God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Whether people listen or not, and whether they like us or not. When you love others with the love that Jesus has for you, and you no longer care what they think about you, because you find your all in all and your ultimate life and love in Jesus, your Savior, then you're truly free to live, truly free to love, truly free to die. Many Christians remain silent about Jesus, even though we're all under orders to be his witnesses, because many Christians are still living in the prison of others' expectations, or they're still living in the prison of wanting the world's respect and likability. Jesus said, friendship with the world is enmity towards God. You and I are sent on orders from God to be his witnesses, to be his John the Baptizers to our circles of influence, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not that Jesus is a potential lamb who potentially takes away the potential sins of the world, that Jesus is the actual Lamb of God who actually takes away the actual sins of the world by his actual shed blood. Like John, forget about your respectability, likability, or social standing. Those things only have the potential for you to lose Jesus or to keep you from giving out Jesus. Our sin is that we, who are God's witnesses, are refusing to witness. And we, who are God's fishers of men, are refusing to go fishing with the net of Jesus' death and resurrection. What do you call a fireman who never puts out fires, even when there are fires? Well, I don't think you should call him a fireman. What do you call a policeman who never polices, even though there's crimes being committed? I don't think you should call him a policeman. This is 0 hour, folks. Jesus has arrived. Salvation is here. Blood has been shed. Forgiveness has been purchased. God's gifts are being given out. But his gift giving won't last forever. Lives are at stake. Maybe those of your own children and grandchildren, family and friends. The world still needs John's message, and John's message still works. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It still works, folks. Now, I'll be honest, God doesn't give us an earthly witness protection program like the FBI. Just ask John. Sharing Jesus' love may make people very mad at you, and telling the truth can even get you killed. Why? Because you're disturbing the peace of the dead. And you're going to have to disturb their peace a lot before they realize their deadness and see and appreciate the life you have to give to them in Christ. But even though God doesn't grant us an earthly witness protection program, he gives us the greatest witness protection program, eternal life in heaven. The religious leaders in John's day had the peace of the dead. They were more concerned about their social standing than their salvation, their places of honor and respectability, rather than their forgiveness. Nevertheless, they stepped onto the scene to check out this weird baptizer named John. They didn't come to confess their sins or be baptized or be forgiven. They were too religious to need forgiveness. That problem still abounds today. They came to John out of curiosity's sake, not for salvation, but just as curiosity killed the cat. If you go no further than being curious about this Jesus or about those Jesus freaks, your curiosity will kill you too. So they asked John, "Are you the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah?" And this was John's American Idol moment. And many people prefer their 10 minutes of fame rather than eternity in heaven. So what was John's answer? John told them, "No, I'm not. I am not the Christ. Don't look at me." The Greek word for Christ is Christos. It means the chosen one. Now, I like Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars and Harry Potter in the Harry Potter series as much as anyone. But I hate to break the news to you if you're fans of those movies. Neither Anakin Skywalker nor Harry are the chosen one. The chosen one is God's only son, Jesus, whom God in his mercy handpicked to die our death, taste our hell, turn our grave into a bed, and who blew the lid off of his own grave to one day blow the lid off of our graves too. This was the plan of Christmas. God said to his beloved son, "It's time to have compassion. So go, bright jewel of my crown, and win for all salvation." John declared boldly, "I am not the Christ, but he is." And he pointed to Jesus. And this Jesus has broken into our world and taken on our flesh and bone to defeat an enemy far more deadly than Darth Sidious in Star Wars and far more dangerous than Voldemort in Harry Potter. And that enemy is the evil one, the prince of darkness, the murderer, Satan. And as ironic as this may sound, Jesus actually defeats the evil one by shedding his blood, because this was a war in which shed blood wins. And the reason that Jesus shed blood wins is because it took blood to forgive us. And Jesus' blood forgives us for every sin that made God mad at us. So no matter how much the devil accuses us of our sin, and no matter how truthful his accusations are, he can't make his charges stick against us because of the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is our Teflon coating against the devil's attacks, and Jesus' blood causes the devil's accusations to slide right off of us, brothers and sisters. Isn't that good news? For John, everything points to Jesus. Jesus is the star of the show, and every question is answered in Jesus. So John confessed, "I'm just a voice, crying in the wilderness. Don't really care what people think of me. I'm just telling them what they need to hear. Prepare the way of the Lord. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." That was his message. And that's your message. But how did John know Jesus? They were cousins, but John grew up in the wilderness and Jesus grew up in Nazareth. And they never saw each other or played together. So how did John know who to point to? John tells us the answer in John 1. He says, "I myself would not have known him, but the Holy Spirit told me. He upon whom you see the Spirit descend like a dove and remain is the one." He's the Savior of the world. Jesus didn't step onto planet Earth with a visible aura. He didn't arrive where John was baptizing with a halo on his head or a neon sign that says, "Here's Christ." But it was the descending of the Holy Spirit on Jesus like a dove at his baptism and the Father's audible words, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, before we close, make sure you catch this. The Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to John in the waters of baptism. And the Father revealed Jesus to John through his words. Sound familiar? This is how God still reveals Jesus to us, through baptism and his word. If you want to see your Savior, hear your Savior, receive your Savior, stop worshiping at St. Mattress. But avail yourself to where your Savior and his salvation are being revealed. Where's that? "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I." Where's Jesus being revealed? Through baptism, the Word, and the Lord's Supper. Still delivering God's gifts. "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." God's word and sacraments tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just our sins, but also the sins done to us. We're cleansed. But you wouldn't know that if it weren't revealed to you. Just as the shepherds came to Jesus' manger because the angels revealed the word to them, and they found the Christ child. Well, we come to the manger of God's word, and Jesus is revealed to us. Luther said, "Even if Christ had been born for us 1,000 times across the sea, had it never been revealed to us, all would be for naught, all would be lost." Yes, Jesus has arrived for our salvation. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. His angels did and still declare, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all mankind on whom God's favor rests." God is not only not mad at you anymore, he's as pleased with you and as pleased with everyone who trusts in Jesus as much as he is pleased with his own Son. How? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's how. Amen.